perfect.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
You what? Don't
Well, that hit the spot.
Welcome back to the Goss Goss with myself, Alexandra Ryan, and Goss.ie editor Kendra Becker.
We're back.
We are back from a little break and fresh from seeing The Odyssey.
Yes.
Last night.
Guys, it's so good.
Me and Kendra are like Christopher Nolan devotees. Like, I remember when I interviewed you to work here, you had told me about the project you had done in college.
Yeah, I wrote a like kind of like a dissertation type thing on Christopher Nolan and his movies. So I'm like obsessed.
We're both obsessed. And we saw it in the IFI, which, by the way, if you are a big movie nerd, the way the movie was shot on an actual IMAX camera. The IFI is one of the only 40 cinemas in the world, or in Europe.
I think in the world.
Or in the world, that actually can play the actual 17 millimeter that Christopher Nolan said. And if you go onto the IFI Instagram, they have a picture of the rolls arriving, which is really cool.
Very cool. Now, so obviously you can see it in any cinema.
Yeah, you can see it in any way.
For the proper like film experience.
And I think when you know you're watching it on 17 millimeters, it just feels different when you know you're watching the actual film.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. It was a cool experience, but it was, I have always said that I didn't love Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that's probably it's my least favorite.
It's my least favorite Christopher Nolan movie. So I was excited to see The Odyssey, but I slightly was a bit like, is this going to be kind of very talky like Oppenheimer though? Mm-hmm. And am I not going to? But no, it is like back to Inception, Dark Knight, The Prestige vibes. I'm just like, it's a mixture of everything.
It's like an amalgamation of all those movies in one. Like, and I do, like, it's not, it kind of does ease you into it a bit. It's not like boom straight away.
No.
But once it hits the boom, it's like boom.
And I always
boom.
Feel like the third act in all of Christopher Nolan's movies has this real eerie tension where like your heart rate is like up and you're like, what's going
to
happen?
And the music adds to everything.
And the last like half an hour of the movie was like that. It reminded me of Act 3 of Dark Knight and Act 3 of Inception where you're just like, what's going to happen?
You kind of feel like in the best way possible, you can't really breathe. You're kind of like
I was saying to Kendra, I looked over at her and her face was like in her hands with nerves at a really crucial scene. But it's so good. So like, I didn't read The Odyssey, I've never read it, and I also didn't look into it at all. And I do think there's something to be said about going to film without actually reading into it. So I knew it had to do with after the defeat and the downfall of Troy in Greek mythology, his journey home, Odysseus's journey home. And just say that when you're drunk. Odysseus' journey home. So I knew that, but then I stopped myself. I didn't look at it. And to say I was surprised in the least at what the story contains.
I personally watched like a TikTok video, and it was this girl, like, and she explained it in like 2 minutes. It's very brief.
I don't want to give any like spoilers
of what the story is, because it's actually a very well known story in like Greek mythology and stuff.
There's just so a lot of people do know, elements, let's say, to it.
So, like, don't expect it to be, like, a standard action film. Like, it's, you know.
Oh, it's definitely not.
There's, like, creatures in it.
And I felt as well, there was a lot of, definitely towards the end, a lot of, like, questions about morality, which I feel like is such a running theme in all of Christopher Nolan's stuff, too. Yeah. Where, like, the main person has this big moral conflict, which was basically just what all of Oppenheimer was about. I think that's why I was like, ugh. But the action in this, the scenes in the ocean of them being on the boat.
Yeah.
Like, you know what Christian Owens, like, he was probably throwing buckets in
their
face.
Oh, yeah, and they were in the sea.
Like, they're in the sea soaking. Now, there was a few shots I was like, that's definitely in the Warner Brothers lot. So there was a few shots where I was like, they're in the sea. But you know that the few where they were in the middle of the storms, I was like, that's in the lot. Yeah. You can kind of tell. But they were still being soaked to death. Yeah. Like,
and like Tom Holland said in interviews, he was like, I've never like experienced a set that's so intense like that. He was like, we were literally on the top of a mountain, like
in
sweating
the studio
in like 40 degree heat in all of the
like,
armor gear and everything.
He was very good in it.
Very good. The cast is just amazing.
Every like second scene you're like, oh my god, there's just like a good actor in it. And I love about him too is he always has people from other things he's had them in. Like, he obviously has his favorite actors that he brings back. I actually was listening, you know the way I fall asleep listening to TikTok sometimes. Some TikTok last night was saying to me that when he first wrote Inception, but I don't know if this is true, the first person he went to was Brad Pitt.
Oh, really?
And he said no, and that Will Smith was number two.
Yeah.
And he said no, and then he went to Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh. And I was looking back in the timeline, and he actually wrote Inception before Dark Knight and was trying to pitch it, and no one gave a shit and said no. Then he made Dark Knight, got the big budget, and people were starting to be like, oh, maybe we will do Inception. Mm. So he had actually written it way before Dark Knight. And I think in an interview he was saying that, like, he kind of needed to prove himself to be able to get the big budget.
Yeah, because it is a mad story. Like,
but like, even The Odyssey, I've seen him in an interview say that, like, he was nervous about bringing it to the studios to see if someone, and the interviewer was like, but Christopher Nolan, he was like, but this is like one of the most expensive movies like ever made.
Yeah.
And I love with his films too, like, the amount of extras that are in it. Mm. Like, nothing is AI or green screen.
No.
Like, you can tell everything is real. It's real. It's like the last of like the old school Hollywood directors.
Yeah. And I think the way, because obviously, if you know the story at all, it's a very like complicated story. Mm. There's a lot of people, different characters. There's a lot of different elements to it. That's why, like, I personally would recommend like kind of having an idea of the
slight idea,
not to spoil it.
No,
but just to kind of know what's happening. But the way that the movie tells it, even if you didn't know, it does explain it very well. Like, there's
just doesn't explain
good,
who people are. Yeah, but it has a good
start, middle, and end. I feel.
It's so funny because, you know, like, there's been a lot of conversation about how modern box office movies are being created for people who are on their phones, so that you have to constantly repeat the plot. Like, a lot of big movie stars have been talking about this recently and how annoying it is that, like, Act 2 and Act 3 will repeat the same plot again, so that, just in case you're not listening.
Yeah.
Whereas Christopher Nolan doesn't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
Like, at no point did he explain, like, he could have explained, like, who Athena was, or like even like why they care about Zeus. Like, there's things in it that I'm like, you could if you wanted people to, but he just doesn't give a shit.
No.
Which I love.
Yeah.
He's like, fucking watch the movie and you'll get it.
Yeah.
But no, I really loved it. Also, Matt Damon with his top off.
I know. God, he's got guns.
I was like, excuse me.
He didn't look like that when he was walking around
Docky. When he was walking
around Docky,
going for a dip.
Yeah.
He obviously had to work out loads. I've never seen him look like that.
I noticed Tom Holland looked huge as well.
The two of them did.
When, like, he had a little t-shirt on now, I was like, oh.
Bursting from the scenes.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a child in it, though, wasn't he?
That's obviously kind of why
his character.
Because, like, he's so short. He's meant to be young, but, like, he actually looked quite tall compared to Anne Hathaway, though. She must be tiny.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's
like
true.
Like, in that scene when they're standing next to each other.
She was really good in it.
Very good.
I have no notes.
No
like,
notes.
It was just so, so good. And a lot of it ties back into itself. Like, I love a story that kind of sews itself back up again.
Yeah.
Where, like, things earlier in the movie come back later. Like, such good storytelling.
Yeah. And you feel very satisfied at the end of it.
I do want to read the book now, but I might have nightmares.
So Al read the book, and it's written by Stephen Fry. So it's like, a lot of people have actually written about the story.
I'm highly confused now. What do you mean?
So, like,
it's his take on it, you mean?
Yeah, kind of.
He definitely didn't write The Odyssey.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not his story, obviously. But
he's
like,
done a retelling of it, is it?
Yes, yeah.
That's what I was reading.
Yeah.
Who wrote the original, though?
I don't know.
Is there a Greek scripture around
Zeus
himself. It's just mad because there's so many movies, or like, yeah, there's been a lot of projects surrounding Troy, Helen of Troy. Homer wrote The Odyssey, of course.
Yes.
You're like, Stephen Fry wrote it.
No, I wasn't saying Stephen Fry wrote it, but he did a retelling of it, basically.
Yeah, Homer. He wrote a couple of things.
Who's Homer?
he wrote a couple of big
Greek poets.
Didn't he write, there's another book. Anyway, but it,
because someone said it to me. They were like, is it actual history? And I was like, no,
it's Greek mythology.
It's Greek mythology.
Yeah, but they would have
seen it as
the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the stories about Zeus, people did, like, grow up believing that is what, like, the gods, and to anger the gods.
I'd
and all
love
that.
To go to Greece and, like, properly go to
I know.
All those, like,
I went to Athens before and I did one of those tours. But I was only there for like half a day because I was staying somewhere else. But it was really interesting. And I went to like Mount Olympus and stuff like that. But I'd love to do a proper deep dive
Same.
In it.
Yeah.
I'm really, really interested in Greek mythology.
Yeah, so am I.
Like, it does kind of remind me of the Bible in a way, a lot of the stories, because they are stories of morality.
Mm.
Like, they are about certain, like, you know, when you see, if anyone's listening that sees the movie, there is a kind of moral point to the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously the story is all about how the journey home is and why it's so hard. And, like, there's a lot into that. But yeah, is it, where is it now in your top Christopher Nolan movies?
I honestly think it
could
like,
be number one.
Could
two?
Be number one.
What was your number one?
Probably one of the Dark Knights.
Yeah,
I just love them.
The Dark Knights. Just...
Which one though?
I have like the Dark Knight, Inception, and I really love The Prestige. It's really up there for me. Mm. I know it's not everyone's top three, but The Prestige is there for me.
Yeah.
It's
no,
the
I honestly
feeling
think it's
that his movies give me, that feeling of like. And The Prestige is another one where I feel like sews up really well, you know, where they go back and they see, and Christian Bale's amazing in it. And I just think that
it's
movie
very,
gets
like,
forgotten.
Satisfactory.
Yeah, yeah, I think that movie gets forgotten a lot. I actually saw one of the press interviews this week. Someone was like, there's apparently a musical about The Odyssey. Oh. I don't know. And they asked Anne Hathaway.
Did
like,
Stephen Fry?
Probably. He's probably in it. But one of the questions to Anne Hathaway was like, what Christopher Nolan movie would you love to see as a musical? It was her and Matt Damon. And Matt Damon was like, actually, The Prestige would be an amazing musical.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, it actually really would. Inception would be a hard musical to do.
I was worried as well because they were doing so much press
was
for The Odyssey. And I was worried because that always usually means the movie's going to be shit.
Do you know
do
what
loads?
Though? Oppenheimer had loads of promo too. I actually think the reason there's so much promo is because Christopher Nolan himself doesn't love it. I just feel like he pushes them out a lot so that he doesn't have to do that many entries. He has done
He's
a few this time
loads,
though.
Though.
He's done
like,
a few this time.
This is the most I've ever
yeah,
seen
me
him
too.
In.
Me too.
But like,
it's the most expensive
win
one he's ever made.
So many awards at the Oscars next year. Like, it has to.
Yeah, I wonder, is there going to be an actor, actress? I mean, for me, I feel like it's more the actual film is going to be up for best movie and best director. I don't know, is there any performance?
Surely Matt Damon will be up. I think Matt Damon and maybe Anne Hathaway.
Not Tom Holland, though.
Would Anne be supporting?
Yeah, supporting actress.
And then Matt would be lead actor.
I don't even know if I would think he'd be up for best actor. I don't know why I'm saying that, but like,
I feel like
the movie was incredible, but I don't know if I'm like, that person's performance was so, as an amalgamation, because there's a huge part of the movie that he's also not in, like for ages at the start, he's not even in it. Everyone was just so good, but I think best director and best movie.
Yeah, 100%.
How was your weekend other than that? Did you get up to anything before we saw The Odyssey?
So I was away. I was over in, so I went to a wedding in Spain. And then I went to Mallorca for a few days. Mallorca is just stunning.
I haven't been there since that time. My mom basically nearly drowned. I saved her life. Yeah, I'm too scared. But now I actually do want to go back because it looks amazing.
It's so stunning. Like, because the only time I'd ever been there before, I went to Magaluf on my 6-year holiday.
Is that where
Magaluf
is? Oh, okay.
I saw the strip and that was about it. But going back, like the water is like crystal clear. It's literally like...
I definitely need to go back.
It's stunning. So, so nice. I think you'd love it. Like, Palma and everything is really cool.
I'm just never going back into that ocean.
There's loads of, like, old kind of history. It's very, like, it's just gorge. I love it.
I went, I want to say, like, 15 years ago, 14 years ago. And obviously my mum nearly drowned. I just like saved her life. So I've always been like, I'm never going back there. But now I see loads of photos of it. I'm like, ooh, it does look really nice.
It's become a real celeb hotspot as well. Like,
wasn't Kris Jenner there a few weeks ago?
Yeah, and like when we were there, Ronaldo's yacht was like off the coast and everything. Like loads of people always go there. Most of them, I think, stay in their yachts, but there's this really expensive hotel that's there. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. It's like something Del Mar, but it's like €5,000 to stay there per night. Per night.
Oh my God.
Apparently Dua Lipa stayed there and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mallorca has become like a real
cool place.
Cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely go back there. The pictures of the water there is just...
insane.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I'd never been in water like that.
Yeah.
It's literally just
Do you know where
blue.
Randomly the clearest, crystalline water I've ever seen in my life is by the Aran Islands. Have you ever gone to the Aran Islands?
Yeah.
Inishmore, my sister did the Gael talk there, and I remember we'd get the boat over like to see her, and I've never in my life... seen water like it since. Like,
so
I could
Ireland
see to
stunning.
The bottom of the floor of the ocean. Like, I remember being like, what the hell?
Ireland is actually gorgeous. Like, me and my family have done a few, like, Ireland trips. And
Where'd
it's so
go?
Nice. We went up north one of the times. And then another time we did, like, the Wild Atlantic Way. But we did it, like, Sligo down to, like, Connemara. And then another time we did kind of West Cork.
In the summertime.
Yeah, because you kind of have to split it up. You couldn't do the whole thing.
This thing, when Ireland has sunshine, it is literally the
literally
most beautiful
the best
country
place
in the
world. Yeah, it's stunning.
And I definitely want to see more of it. I actually really want to go back to their islands because I must have been like 9 or something, but I always remember being like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I've never gone back there. I didn't do a girl talk or anything, so I never went out that area, but I would love to go back to the Aran
Islands. There's a gorgeous beach there. I think it's on the main Aran Island.
Is the big yeah. one. Yeah,
and it's called like Keem Bay.
See, I think that's where we went that time we went to go visit her.
It's gorgeous.
But yeah, so like I would love to do a little bit more of Ireland. There's a few weeks left in the summer.
Yeah, why not?
I even want to do a little.
You
like,
can do a weekend, like exactly. easily.
Yeah, I definitely want to do. Me and the girls were talking about doing like a boat from like Dunleary to Howth, even, you know, Deer and Garry's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are they called again?
Dublin Bay Cruises.
They've a couple because the weather's just been so insanely nice lately.
Another like stunning place in Ireland is West Cork as well. Like anywhere you there is so fab.
Remember me and Lavina went there like 3 years ago. We did like a road trip vibe.
Mm.
We went to
Malinhead.
Or Maidenhead. What's the one that's in Cork?
Mizzen,
yeah. And we were like driving.
It's the lowest point of Ireland.
It's like the edge. But like it was a gorgeous sunny day and we were just driving through being like, oh my God, like this is the most beautiful part of the world, let alone Ireland.
I stayed in Cove before.
Skull as well, so pretty.
Cove has like so much history because the Titanic stopped there.
Oh yeah.
And they have like this whole museum there and then there used to be a prison on an island off Cove. Yeah, and you can go and do like a really creepy tour and everything.
Do I want to do that?
I think they do it at night time as well and it's like,
did you do it?
No, not at night time. Jesus,
no thanks.
Don't have a death wish.
Oh my God.
I actually would like to maybe go back and do it during the day, maybe not at night. I wouldn't want to do
any prison tour at night time. Like I'm good. But yeah, no, I think this is your sign to do like little Irish
while the weather is nice, like, because I know it's nice at the moment, but apparently it's going to be nice like into August as
well. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, not to be in so too much of a dark note, but I obviously had a bit of a shit week.
I know.
Because my friend Slaney passed away. And definitely even just talking to you there about like holidays and stuff, like at her funeral, like her mom was just like, if there's anything you want to do to remember her, like you just have to like live life and like just do it, like literally just like that's what she was like. She would just be like, just fucking go for it, like everything that came up she'd be like and I honestly, like out of anyone I've ever met, I don't think I've ever heard her complain once in my life, like ever. So it's mad thinking about her since she passed, because I'm like, I want to kind of live like her, to honor her a bit in a way. But she was so positive, like even towards the end she was still like laughing and being positive. So I'm just
that's
like,
obviously why it was such a shock, because
she
was still being so positive towards the end,
like days before even. But like I just feel like all of us should be a bit more live the fucking day like it's your last, because like you really don't know. And it's so weird, like I'm 36, Slaney was 44. It was going to be her birthday on Thursday, she died on the Saturday. But it's so weird when you go to a funeral of someone that's your friend. Like I haven't reached even the point in life where I'm going to my friend's parents' funeral yet.
Yeah, I know.
So like when it's someone in your actual group, it's like, what the actual fuck. Like I remember when I was really young, maybe I was like 8, my mom's friend died of cancer. And it was like this really horrible thing, and she had young kids, and like I've never forgotten it. Like it was really intense. And I said to my mom, when Slaney died, I was like, what age was Jacinta? That was her name. And it was the same age as Slaney. And I was like, I had such a feeling you were going to say that, that it was around the same time. Yeah. And I remember it affecting my mom like so much. But obviously she died from cancer. And it's just weird that me and you were having that chat on the pod the other week about just kind of getting checked and like, you know, really listening to your gut, because shock fucking horror, you know, she was basically misdiagnosed slash not diagnosed quickly enough. And when they finally did find out that she had cancer, she had been trying to sort it out for like over 2.5 years. And she actually has a documentary coming out in November. It's called 1 and 2, and the guy that's made it, he has stage 4 bowel cancer.
Yeah.
And 5 women took part in it. They all had bowel cancer, but they've all died since. And I think the point or the theme in that documentary is that they weren't diagnosed on time. And like, you know, one doctor at one point said to her like, oh, you just suffer from nerves because her stomach was sore.
That fucking shit pisses me off so
much. And it's just,
and the amount of people that are told that, even like women who are like experiencing endometriosis and stuff like that, they're just told like, ah, it's just your anxiety, or it's just like, well, no, it's not actually.
I just feel like if you have a good instinct that something is wrong, and I know most people, and Slaney was one of them, that wouldn't want to be troubling people, you know? So obviously if you're told like you're fine, or it's in your head, or you've long COVID, or you're this or you're that, there's only so many times you're gonna go, but like I'm actually not like that though. I'm like fucking check it. Like I've always been that way, not just about myself, but about people I care about, like my nieces and nephews. If my sisters are like, oh, the doctor sent me home, I'm like, fucking bring them back in.
Yeah.
Like if you really think something's not right. And the problem with the likes of bowel cancer, the reason there's such a low success rate, and obviously Liz, you know, Kieran O'Malley's wife, Liz Kavanagh, she died of bowel cancer as well. But one of the big issues with it is that it is very hard to tell that you have a tumor unless you literally get a scope.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that anxiety obviously does have similar issues. You know, Kira Meekin?
Yeah.
The runner.
Yeah.
She has stage 4 bowel cancer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've read some of her interviews lately, or, you know, she's a new, that book out, it's like her The Greatest Race or whatever. She talks about how in athletics, stomach issues are very common because you're running all the time, so you can't really stop for bathroom breaks, or you're like anxious before it goes. So like a lot of people would have
issues,
and she did have issues for like a year or two and was just like, oh, it's just, and again, by the time she went, she was stage 4. Like she's only been given 2 to 3 years to live. So yeah, I know it's a bit of a morbid topic, but like it does kill me a bit that like what would have happened, you know, if they had looked at her sooner. I suppose we're never going to know what would have happened, but like it's hard not to wonder, you know. And I know what we were talking about, the breast check, and you can check yourself, and that's incredible, but there's no way
you can check
ovarian and bowel.
Like, I don't understand though, with technology these days, like how a scan can't even,
I'm sure, you know, some like sort of ultrasound,
would an MRI not like pick up things like that? Like, no,
not really. Anyone I know who's had like irritable bowel syndrome or Crohn's, for example, they've all had to get scopes. You just can't tell what's going on inside unless you're in there. And it's the same reason we were saying how important it is to get your smear. Ovarian often gets diagnosed quite late because it's literally inside your body, so like you can't.
I got my smear done, and when I was away, I got a text to say there was no HPV detected, and that I don't have to get another one for 3 years now, and that's like such a relief. But it was in the back of my mind, like before I got it done, I was like, right, I need to do that,
because
there is always a worry, like, what if?
I know.
Do you know? But now that I have that done, it's like ticked off. And of course, getting a smear isn't nice, but like it's done. It took a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that's like a little worry.
We just have to stay on top of it. And I think when you're younger, like you just don't really think about these things. Like when you're in your 20s, you're just like, sure, that's now. But now, since this has happened, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting to midlife. Like this is midlife.
And your health is so important. Like that's the thing. And especially when things like this happen, like losing Slaney, you know, you realize that like everything else really doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't.
Yeah. Like, that hit me hard so much last week. Because like even on the pod, we've been giving out about stupid shit the last couple of weeks. And obviously, look, everyone has their things.
Yeah.
But when something like that happens, you're just like,
it really puts everything in matter. Perspective.
And like, you know, one of the big things with her is that like she loved the beach and loved being in the sun, and she didn't get to do that for like a really long time. So even when I was out in Dunleary this week, I was like, I'm so lucky.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and all I was doing was sitting there, but I was just like, the amount of people that would like kill to have one more day, or even maybe that aren't dying but are just not well enough to even like be out and stuff. It's like we take things for granted so much. It's crazy. So I definitely want to like try and be better with that. But it is only until something happens, I think, that you actually start thinking like that.
I know, and we can get so caught up in our daily lives and the little things that are annoying us, or you might feel like the world is against you sometimes when like one thing after another happens, or it's fucking Mercury retrograde, blah, blah, blah.
And but, just also, you know, how positive she was. Like, I feel like I'm negative about the smallest things, and like even at the largest stuff, she was still like, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all great. Like my last voicemail from her was her being like, I'm gonna fight this, like, you know, like it's all good. I was just like, oh great,
you know. That obviously just says everything about her, though. I actually only met her once at one of your birthday dinners.
At my birthday,
and I remember thinking she was such a lovely person. I remember I said to you at the time, I was like, oh my god, she's so nice. She had such a lovely energy.
Oh my god, like anyone that met Slaney once remembered her forever. Like there's so many like people I've seen since she died comment saying they met her literally one time 15 years ago or something like that. She just was so memorable. And we had just so much fun together. Like I was just telling,
I think her son Knox was only like little at the time,
been like two or three I think that time. But like even some of the stories I have are like, you know, not suitable for work ones, and they're just so funny and so stupid and so silly. And like we were really similar in that, like, we just, like, there was no such thing as no, you know, like,
YOLO, like.
Yeah, and she had just made her first movie, The O'Briens. It's on Apple TV. Like, how fucking cool is that?
Oh,
that
is her?
Yeah,
no
and
way.
It's on every Aer Lingus transatlantic flight as well, The O'Briens.
In fact, she was on The Tudors as well. Like,
I know.
That's such
and
an
she's
iconic
a really good
show.
Friends with Jonathan Rhys Meyers, actually. There was, like, rumors, like, he was in love with her and everything when she
oh
was on the
God.
Show. Because he, like, always stayed away from the girls, kind of. Mm. And then I remember he had this big birthday for her and got her like a pair of Louboutins and was like in the press and everything.
Oh my God,
he got her these,
what?
Yeah, it was so funny. But
and then
friends.
Obviously the Barry's Tea ad, like that's still played to this day.
And Joe, it's so funny, like when she died, like I was really adamant that I wanted like a lot of press coverage for her because I just mm-hmm. wanted people to know her and remember her. And I remember being like, she would love to be remembered for the Barry's Tea ad.
Yeah.
So I made sure it was in our headline and it ended up being in all of them then. I was
it was
so
actually
happy.
Our top story last week.
Was it? Mm.
Yeah.
But even during the ceremony, the priest referenced the article and was talking about the Barry's Tea ad. It's just because of what that ad is about. It's basically the one where the girls are all going to Tokyo or something or Thailand. And Charlie Murphy is in it from Love Hate. And the mom is like really upset that they're moving away. And when she gets there, there's like a scene where she opens her bag and there's a sneaky like Barry's Tea box in there. But it was at a time where a lot of people were emigrating to like Australia and stuff like that. And it was like kind of post-recession time. So people were kind of moving away. And it's just got a little soft spot in people's hearts, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just such a sad kind of ad. It's like an emotional ad in its way. So like to be tied to her now. But yeah, we had just the best time and I'm just going to like kind of reiterate what her mom said again. I just think if anyone takes anything away from it, it's just to fucking live your life, have
live
fun,
life.
Don't
yeah.
complain, dance, take your shoes off. They were her big things. But then on the other side of it, like I'm just so sick of hearing stories of women not being taken seriously by their doctors. You've had an experience like this with other things. And I'm just like, how many more like people have to die, get seriously ill? So if there's anyone listening and you have a niggly feeling about something, please just
get checked.
But we will go into more positive topics now and we'll kick off with Love Island. Obviously while you were away we didn't do the pod, but so much has happened.
So much. I had to catch up loads because I couldn't properly watch it over in Spain because the Virgin Media player, it doesn't work.
The only way it works is if you watch it on your phone.
Get a VPN.
On your phone. The app works.
No, it doesn't.
Didn't work for me.
No.
It always works for me.
And it was randomly...
It doesn't work on my laptop, but the app will work for me.
It randomly worked for someone else like one day and then it stopped working. But
I've always known
the
browser has never worked for me, but the app itself has worked for me when I'm away.
That's annoying. But I caught up, like, I was watching clips as I was there, and like, you can kind of get to know what's happening through the clips. But then when I got home on Sunday, then I like properly watched like the last few, so I'm properly caught up today.
So the Irish chapter of the show is over. Obviously, that's the big news. Let's talk about Charlene first, because she genuinely, in the history of all reality TV, was the most hyped person to ever join a series. Like, genuinely, she was. Even when Maura was tipped for the Traitors, Strictly, I've never seen someone so hyped.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for her in a way that it was so hyped. They should have just put her in towards the start. It got, like, too much pressure, I think, that...
Yeah.
By the time she went in, it was quite unfair that people were like, oh, is this who we've been waiting
for?
Yeah,
they're like, oh, why were you guys
like,
hyping
you,
this
you know,
girl?
She wasn't going to arrive in a fucking unicorn. She's like, what do they expect? But I remember saying to you, and we said it on the pod too, that like, it was teed up perfectly because they obviously do all the psychological testing behind the scenes. They know who's going to work well with who.
Yeah.
They obviously wanted Charlene to try and couple up with Cavan.
Yeah.
And they needed Cavan to have a bit of a break from Jasmine, I think. I don't think he ever would have gone near Charlene if him and Jasmine hadn't had that tiff. So I think as soon as they saw Cavan was unhappy, Jasmine was having her little affair, emotional affair at Lorenzo, they were like, it's time to send her in. So it was, in a way, a perfect setup.
Yeah.
But I've just felt so bad for her. I mean, let's talk about her journey because, you know, the first night she was in the main villa, Cavan dropped her hand at the fire pit.
Like
everyone
she said,
was horrible.
He basically threw her in the bin.
Everybody was horrible. It is the worst reaction I've ever seen from main villa girls to Casa girls.
Yeah.
They were horrible.
Horrible, yeah.
And the comments from some of the girls, like being like, I can't believe you'd go for her.
Yeah,
Jasmine.
Mika being like, I can't believe he would bring back that girl.
I also think those girls are fucking insane this year. Like, do they not know what happens in Casa Amor? Because they're reaction to any girl being brought back was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like, this is what the show is about.
And like, I personally think that they're being a lot nicer to that Alicia girl. And she fucking moved crazy when she came in. Yeah, she went and brought Aiden and Finley.
But it's because Jasmine's like the ringleader of the popular girls. So her being fucked over was way worse. I agree with you. Everyone's being so nice to Alicia.
Yeah.
She basically tried to have all but a threesome with the two lads.
Yeah.
In the hideaway, and they're all like, oh, Lisa's a good girl.
Because Ellie keeps being so like nice and gracious to her, and I'm like,
slapped
her.
Emotionally slapped her. I wouldn't touch a girl.
But like, I don't like the way that like they're giving Alicia such grace, but yet when it came to the Casa girls, they were so rude to them.
And Charlene did not move that way. She was very sweet and quiet and was actually standing up for Jasmine as well. But I just felt really sorry for Charlene because I think she came in on a real low note then.
Yeah.
And then she was picked up and dropped again, picked up and dropped again. Jasmine was just screaming, crying around the villa on her own, even though she literally didn't seem to give a fuck about Calvin before he left. And I think it's such a cop-out when someone's like, I didn't go near a boy, I didn't da-da. You didn't fancy any of the boys, Jasmine.
Yeah, no. And to be fair, like, the Love Island producers kind of did the girls dirty. They didn't put any good lads in.
And keep in mind, that guy that got kicked out for being a part of, or allegedly being kind of something to do with the stabbing, he said he got was starting to get to know someone. That could have been Jasmine falling out. For all we know, Jasmine and him were like getting it on, and then he left and she was like, shit. Like, we don't know what happened there. But I will say, in a positive note, Charlene came across very well. She's very true to herself. Anybody that knows Charlene or has worked with her knows she is quite shy.
Yeah.
She is quite quiet. So like, it didn't surprise me that she was kind of quiet and kept to herself.
Not in a bad way. No. She's just like, she wouldn't be the
She's not gonna be screaming at people.
Yeah.
I think what the Love Island producers were hoping for is what happened in Casa, that they just like really fell for each other and that they could go on to like win the show. I don't think they were expecting her to be dramatic. Don't know if they thought Jasmine was going to pipe the drama, but I remember feeling very much that the producers got involved, because in one of the episodes, Calvin in the morning was like, Charlene, I'm definitely going to get to know you. We're going to sleep in bed together tonight. Yeah. And then in the evening, he dumped her. Yeah. And I do think that the producers were speaking to him, being like, maybe you should give Jasmine another go. Because we've heard this from Islanders before. They're literally like, you should go for this. You should do this again. So I just felt really bad for her. And I also wish she'd gotten to know someone else as well.
And she said that herself, being like, I should have chatted to other people. But I suppose it is hard because in Casa Amor, you only have like, what, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of easier to focus on one person and be like, right, like, they need to bring me back.
I love what she said on After Sun, that she was like, I went for the wrong brother.
I know.
Now, I actually think Aiden's too much of a messer.
Yeah.
But she could still be in the villa if she coupled up with Aiden.
Mm.
And I think she could still be there if she'd maybe chatted to Lorenzo. I feel there could have been a vibe there. I think either way she was going to go back to the villa. Like,
yeah.
But I just feel bad for her that people are like, why is she so hyped up?
Also, I keep seeing this narrative online as well, being like, well, Charlene got a choice of going in for Casa or being a bombshell. That it doesn't work like that. No one gets a choice. No. I know she's a big influencer and everything, but she does not have a choice. She was literally, as we know, waiting by the phone.
Literally.
For the producers to ring her and be like, right, it's time now. Like, they don't get a
I don't know if you saw the video Miriam Mullins did last week, but she did this thing being like, I feel like the producers used her name and like dragged the arse out of it. And like, I kind of agree.
Yeah,
they could have put her in a week too. Like, people knew she was going in. Like, I think when Lorenzo and Jasmine started having their affair chats, they could have put her in that week.
And like, was it Tommy that he said on After Sun that they had been talking about Charlene in the villa and being like, oh, when is she going to come in? So I'm just confused as to why they waited until halfway through.
Again, I do think maybe it was from a narrative and they thought Calvin would go for her properly.
And like, I feel like a lot of people forget how miserable Calvin was before. Like, and I saw so Tina miserable. Did Tina did a podcast interview.
I forgot she was even on the show.
Tina, by the way, she was dumped like a few weeks ago. Her and Tommy were dumped on the same day. And she said Calvin was literally like depressed. Like, he was
he
was in such a bad way, she said. And like, he was just miserable and poor thing was getting
But then he came back and then was like being screamed at. I honestly do believe, I don't know if you've read the book Men Love Bitches, but there are certain men, like most of them, that I feel like do respond to absolute cunty behavior.
Yeah.
And if he had come back and she'd been like, oh, you picked Charlene, I think he would have been like, yeah, well, we're on a break. But because she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he was like, like, oh my God.
Yeah, he was like, fuck shit. Yeah. Like, what have I done?
But I said that, though, I think in the last podcast, I said, I was like, I don't know, I think he might go back to Jasmine. She's really fiery, like, and you know the way he keeps being like, you're so sexy, blah, blah. Like, you know, men think with their
dicks. Won't last.
Like,
they won't last. They won't. So then, so that was the end of Charlene's journey. She left, obviously massively being tipped for All Stars. She better be in the fucking original lineup for it, though.
Yes. She's an absolute
I don't want a casa. I don't even want her to bombshell. Yeah. Just being there for
Jack Keating got an original All-Stars
place. Yes, and he lasted for ages. OGs last the longest. Like, they really, really do. Who would you see Charlene getting on with? Do you remember there's that video of Kieran Davies and her?
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy.
He obviously won the last series of All-Stars. Can he win again, but with Charlene?
I think they'd send
but
him
Sammy
back.
Sammy literally dumped him like a few days after.
For Tyreek. I think they would be good. Is there anyone else from the previous seasons you think would be a good fit for Charlene? She said that Casey DM'd her.
Jack Fowler.
No. Yeah. He's like 45, I feel.
No, I think you're thinking of the wrong Jack
Which
Fowler.
Jack am I thinking of?
There's this guy, Jack Fowler, that loads of people have been wanting to go on All-Stars for years and he just won't go on it.
Oh, he's I'm thinking of Danny and Jack.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. Yeah,
he's like a. I think
100. Like,
yeah. I think he's been done for like drink driving,
and he's a dad now, isn't he? Or maybe not so. But I saw that she said Casey slipped into her DMs.
Yeah, classic.
And he was like sticking up for her and the After Sons and talking about her and stuff.
And he posted that video, Justice for Charlene and stuff. Oh, yeah. That was good.
So she has a bit of a fan base and a camp on her side over there.
Did she not meet Casey at the Gossies that year, or was she there?
She was there with Dano.
Oh, well,
yeah. So Casey was there that year, yeah, but he wasn't trying to slide into her DMs anyway.
Yeah,
definitely other people's DMs, but not hers. But yeah, no. I'm delighted she went on, and I think she stayed true to herself, so she can't really have regrets. I think she came across really well. She was very funny, very herself. But I am sad for her that she basically got ghosted and dumped on live television. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? No one
At
wants
At least
that.
She did make it back into the main villa. Like, it could have been different and she was only in Casa Martha
Martha should
days.
Not be there. Like, Charlene should be there.
I know.
Martha's so...
She doesn't even speak.
She barely speaks.
Julia
no
is hilarious. She definitely earned her spot anyway.
Yeah, but she's annoying me now. She's been a bit too bitchy, a bit too obvious. But Lorenzo is just so liked that I don't think...
Lorenzo's just there for a holiday. And
this might be the first year... I know every time a bombshell comes in, they're like, are you looking for a relationship? He's like...
He's like,
why are you on Love Island? And I saw a piece yesterday saying that he is becoming the most sought after person for brand deals, where it's always a girl that leaves the show is like, everybody wants them. But this year, everyone's like, Lorenzo.
Well, like, Lorenzo looks like a model.
He could literally be the face of Hugo Boss. But it's the first year I feel like a couple could win just because people like them.
Yeah.
As in, like, they're not. I do think Aiden and Priya could get to the final as well, just because people like them as people rather than them being a couple. But sorry, I have to talk about Fitzy and Lola. Like, they should be on the show still.
I know.
And they should be in the final, because the whole point of Love Island and the winners of Love Island are meant to be the ones that find true love.
I feel like people have forgotten the whole point of the show.
But what happened, obviously, with Lorenzo and Julia being picked as the favourite couple, I think, number one, Lola didn't want Julia to get the opportunity to dump her.
And the way she said it so quickly.
But I also think, number two, I think she wanted to go home and just be with him. And just because she was starting to get fighty with him over Julia. Didn't like Julia being around.
I think she just wanted for herself. Everyone else from the equation.
But such a pity, because obviously in interviews since, like, he's saying that he had this huge plan to ask her to be his girlfriend on the show. He had like the whole thing ready to go, but she was like, "We'll just go then." And he was like, "Well," it's just
and you
me.
Could tell he didn't want to go. He was a bit like,
"It's such a disappointment." But they were like, "We found what we've got. So like, we found what we're looking for. So we should go." That is not why people get dumped.
No.
People get dumped because they're not
in a couple.
In a couple.
Yeah.
Or they're not a good fit, or they're so recent they don't deserve to be in the final. The other thing about it as well is that I think she knew in that moment that they were in the bottom three because of her. So she was like, fuck, maybe we should just leave. Like, people aren't liking me.
Yeah. She's obviously obsessed with them anyway, because she's like moving to Dublin now and everything. Apparently they're going to be at the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah.
And get your notebook out. I'll send you over now with the gossip mic. Imagine you Jane and Marty on the Marcy fighting for some interview. You could absolutely take on Marty the
Chicken. I love Marty Marcy.
So imagine we started a GAA segment and you were just on the pitch on like a Sunday.
I remember I interviewed Marty Marcy like a few years ago. And it was him and I think Bernard O'Shea and like...
Yeah, they were doing like a roadshow.
I don't know what happened in the interview, but we just got so off track and can't remember what we were talking about. But Marty was like, are you free after this, are you? I was like, Marty, stop like a drink.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. He loves the ladies.
But yeah, I feel sorry for Fitz too because he's... I don't think he's coming across the best way.
I'd be interested to see how he feels about everything now that he's out, because there's obviously like a very different narrative about Lola
and you can watch
that she's very controlling.
That's why I mean he's not coming across the best, as in I think people are a bit like he does not wear the pants and at all.
A pushover. Because like, I'm sorry, but the way she spoke to him over the whole Yulia situation was so bad. Like I know, and like I've seen some people like say this online, like, would you like your conversations with your boyfriend like aired on national television? But
there's a way to go about it.
She spoke to him though. She was itchy, like, stop talking. She speaks in it was like shut no the fuck spaces.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
She was just like, please don't do this to me, blah, blah. And like saying, please don't do this to me, as if he was like
about to kiss her.
About to kill her family.
But I do think that she must have this instinct deep down that there was flirtations. The fact that like he taught her Pogue Mahone and everything, she must be like something went
She's
on
annoyed.
In
yeah.
Casa.
Yeah.
And like Yulia is obviously gorgeous as well. Everyone's actually very stunning this year. Do you have any favorites yourself, like individually as well as couples? I know Lorenzo obviously.
Individually, yeah, I love Lorenzo.
I like Yasmin. She's not showed that much, but I think she's just a nice girl.
Yeah,
I just like her vibe. I think she's like a good person.
Have you seen though, like loads of people are like saying things that her business is like real dodgy.
Why, what does she do?
It's basically like kind of a pyramid scheme type vibe.
Why, what is she, what is, she's like an investment person?
Kind of, yeah. I don't know, someone else would better explain it, but loads of people are like giving out about her business and saying that
it's
like kind of bad.
Oh, really?
Okay. And like it's kind of a pyramid scheme type thing. I was like, all right.
Wow.
But she seems like a lovely girl, allegedly. Regardless. Who do I like? I really liked Jasmine before all the Cavan bullshit.
Yeah, I don't like her at all now.
It like that whole thing, and I don't know if it's because it involved Charlene, and like I feel bad for Charlene. Maybe it's kind of tainted my view.
I do really like Priya. I feel really bad for her. She kind of was annoying me for a while, but now
I don't
like
the way
her.
Priya talks to everyone like she's in a HR meeting. She's literally like, okay, by the end of this performance review, I'll come back to you and circle
what
back.
What does she do? Does she work in HR?
No.
She's the most beautiful eyelashes.
She reminds me of, remember Danica from years ago?
Oh,
she talked like that
That's
as well.
That's true, actually.
Real like...
Matter of fact.
Yeah, and
Aerostats vibes, like your exits to the left and the right.
Yeah,
I agree. But yeah, it's weird. There's no real... I don't really like the seasons where there's not really a couple in there where you're like goals.
Yeah.
Like Angelica and... Angelista and
Simba.
For a while they were that vibe, but it's like a lot of them are so happy now they're not really being shown, so it's hard to like see where.
But even like
they're at.
I don't know.
Angelica could win, or Jalista, sorry.
Angie. I just don't believe Simba.
Oh, no, me
so either. Like even the scene of him like saying he loved her and stuff, I was just like, I don't buy it.
He kind of like laughed through it too. He was like, I love you.
I just think
she was like, are you sure? Do you know what, actually, do you know why I don't like the season two? All the girls are putting up with absolute horse shit in there.
Yeah.
And obviously we're recording this now on Wednesday. Like, we just saw the news that Ellie left the show. I have a feeling it's because Finn was dumped from the season she walked off. But I don't know. It's one of the first seasons in a while where I feel like all of the girls are like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm getting to know her.
But
it's like,
no,
all right.
They like initially like kind of pretend that they're standing on business and like kind of like crash out a bit in the dressing room away from all the lads. And then they come back out and they're like, okay.
You just have to try harder.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe don't fucking cheat in the first place. Or,
yeah.
But this is what I find hard about Love Island. It's like, you're meant to be accepting going in that the guy you end up with or could end up with is allowed to get it on with the people.
Mm-hmm. And
when
I'm sorry,
in real life would
like,
that happen?
If Finley is acting like that when he is on
good
camera,
luck.
What would he be doing?
What's going on in his DMs? Yeah. I'd love to know.
Like,
but no. Like, imagine in like normal dating life, if you were dating someone and like 6 weeks in, they're like, oh, I'm actually seeing someone else as well. You would be a bit like, right, well, then I'm not going to see you on Friday. Like, maybe some people would be open to it, but like...
well, I'm not meeting you for drinks on
Friday. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to hop into bed for cuddles if you're going on a date. It's weird.
It is like, and it's obviously meant to be like that. It's kind of like a social experiment.
But in like real life, when you're on the apps or whatever, you're not watching them date other people. You're not aware of it.
Yeah.
So like, it's on such a heightened version of it. I've said this to you before. I would be jumping over fucking tables. Like, if I saw a guy I was into kissing someone else.
I know. But men and women are so different, though. Like, remember, like, I've definitely heard from lads that are on dating apps that they could go on, like, multiple dates a week. Whereas, like, girls aren't really programmed like that.
When you're with someone, like, a month, which is what's happening. If you look at the Finley and Ellie storyline, they've been together for 6 weeks nearly, like 5 weeks. Is it 5 weeks?
It's 3 weeks. He came in late.
Oh, he came in late. Sorry. So 3 weeks.
But she was like calling him the one and everything. Like she was like
He was obsessed. Also like obsessed too.
Yeah.
But did you see that Charlene said he was having chats with her in Casa, but she was straight on to Cavan? She actually probably could have gone on to the villa with him either, because clearly he's a fucking wandering guy.
I think she's obviously been way more into him than he is into her this whole time.
But this is the pattern of the show I'm noticing the last couple of years and just life. But like the fact that like what I feel is that really good girls get brought in for Casa. Girls that probably should be in the OG lineup. Mediocre men are brought into the girls.
Yeah.
So the girls just miss
like Mara as well. Like she deserved to stay in the show as well. Like so stunning. And like she actually properly stood on business with Simba.
She did.
I would have that sentence. Her saying this entire day has irritated my whole existence.
My whole existence. Yeah, we've all felt that before.
So good.
What I feel as well is I wish that the photo challenge of taking the selfies had happened on the first night, so that the next morning the girls would have gone off with other guys.
Yeah.
Instead, they were all like,
"It's too late.
I miss everybody." Yeah. But look, it is a game show at the end of the day. And there is a chance that like the lads didn't really want to get at people that much, but the producers were like, well, you're here, have fun. Do you know what I also could never do is the fucking games.
I know.
They're like, show your favorite sex position and then lick him up to. I'm like, what?
They're like, spit in each other's mouths. Oh. It's like, what the fuck? It's so disgusting.
I know, it's too much.
I'd say they're all like sick.
They must be getting tested left, right and centre in there with all the saliva getting moved around. Like, but that's actually one of the reasons I love Charlene on the show. She was like, oh my God, looking away, hands over her eyes.
Yeah.
She was like a normal person in there. She was kind of like, ah. But some of the like Fitzy doing that worm on top of her.
I can't cope.
On top of Julia, was it?
And I suppose you do kind of have to like lean into it a bit. But like, do my lord.
He's a primary school teacher.
Have you seen clips from the Love Island USA?
No, but I saw that Virgin are going to start airing it.
Oh my God. Their games are so much crazier.
Are they?
Like their version of the heart rate challenge is like insane. They had like this year, they basically made like a huge bed and like put all the lads on it, and then like all the
literally
girls
like a whorehouse.
Like, yeah, it was like grinding.
Ofcom is only in the UK, so I'd say it's slightly different.
Yeah.
And also the UK have all these issues with people like, you know, having real mental health problems after the show.
Yeah, and it's obviously on ITV as well, whereas Love Island USA is on Peacock in America.
Is that actually where it's on there as well? I thought it was just on.
It's Peacock, so like obviously
everyone's saying that this season is quite good though, of the USA one.
It's just finished, yeah. And it was quite good. I just saw like clips from it.
I'm going to watch it after the UK
Sophie actually properly watched it. Does and she said it was good. Yeah.
We're actually coming back with our countdown show again. So basically every year on the night of the final, we do a big event. We're going to be giving tickets away on the Goss channel. If you are a Love Island fanatic like us, we are going to be interviewing some big Love Island stars, which we'll be announcing in the next couple of days. It's going to be a really, really fun event. I'm so excited for that. Before we go, we will just touch on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's wedding. The build up was so big. Where is it going to be? $20 million to get Madison Square Garden, $27 million in charity donated before, paying the permit to the New York mayor. Not a fucking photo to be found.
Not a photo in sight. Well, there's a lot of AI generated photos, which are obviously fake.
I love the fake one is her with a cocktail in every shot, as if like she had to be drinking an orange
drink. That actually looked kind of realistic though.
But like, what's going on there? Do you know what I mean? They have been seen since two, which is making it more annoying. Like, they were at a friend's wedding. Now, they were helicopter shots, so they were obviously trying to get them. They weren't just posing photos. But why is the phone not out?
I don't know. And like, loads of people were speculating she was waiting until the 13th of July because she's like obsessed with the number 13. No photos.
13 so came
I don't know if she's waiting for a certain time. I feel like it would be random if she just posted them today. Like,
I feel like it's like too late now. So it's going to have to be like a month anniversary or anniversary of the date that they met maybe. But I'm like, why? And also I was saying to you earlier on, most weddings, and I know this even from being a reporter back in the day myself, details of what the bride wore always comes out. If there's no photo, it'll be like, their hair was in a loose bun and they wore like a bardo, blah, blah. Not a sentence.
No one has mentioned it. They both wore Dior, which is designed by Jonathan Anderson.
Which obviously incredible that an Irish designer.
And then they both wore custom shoes by Louboutin. And then she wore Cartier jewellery. That's all we know.
I also feel, you know, they did that kind of red carpet moment on the way in, very like the Met Gala. Where's the photos from that?
I don't know. They're obviously like, see,
it's not going to be a bit late though.
Taylor and Travis are both very money minded people, I think. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a fucking Disney documentary about it before the photos are dropped.
Or like maybe a People exclusive. But I like, couldn't someone have released the photos of like that Met Gala style? Here's who's here. I just felt for all the hype, it was like a lead balloon in the end. Because it was like, okay, what happened? What did she look like? What did the inside
and
look like?
And it was this huge, like basically celebrity bonanza. Like the amount of people that were there. Let me just read off who was there.
Out of the 1,000 that attended.
But it's such random people also. Like Benson Boone, Dakota Johnson, Bradley Cooper, Gigi Hadid, Selena Gomez, obviously their friends.
Jason Sudeikis.
Ellie Goulding, Hugh Grant.
Loved
Graham
Hugh Grant
Norton,
being there.
Ed Sheeran, Camilla Cabello, Jenny
Did Donald Gleeson go, I wonder? I guarantee he did.
Yeah, I'd love.
Because he probably wasn't photographed.
I'd say Cillian Murphy got an invite and he was like, I'd rather shoot myself than go.
He was probably like, who's Taylor Swift?
But Emma Stone, Millie Bobby Brown, Machine Gun Kelly, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Brad Pitt. Like, it was literally just like, if you're a celebrity, you can come.
But I wonder, like what camp they were in. Like, did Tom Hanks and Brad go because they're fans of the Super Bowl and they love American football?
I don't know. And, like, I'd love to know how they reacted when the invite came in the post, being like, well, I don't know these people, but, like, sure, fuck it. Let's go.
Tom Hanks is like, honey, do you know someone called Taylor? I'd say he was like, what?
I wonder, is that because she did the soundtrack for
Toy Story. So she met him once.
Because like, I don't know how she would know him otherwise.
But see, I wonder, does Travis, are people Travis fans? How big of an athlete is he? Like, I don't know.
He is very big. Yeah.
Like their podcast is so popular. Also, how weird, I don't know if you'd seen this, but obviously Prince William was on the podcast the week of the wedding. And then a report came out that Taylor and Travis had a private audience with Kate and William.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Do they take a selfie? Like, I've had so many questions. I'm getting a bit annoyed now. She, out of any celebrity in the world that we have ever covered, controls the narrative more than I've ever seen in my life. So she has a reason for this. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Also, like you were saying earlier, can she just not come up with the right caption?
Yeah, she like,
Like, I have loads of photos from York on my phone and I'm like, oh, just the effort.
No, you were like this, Kendra.
I'm always
the amount
like
of times
that.
Kendra's been like, right, I'm down to these three, which one? And I'm like, they're the same photo.
But like, I've not even posted a slight on difference. My stories when I was there. I'm not arsed.
Imagine
I just want to
like,
be
what
off
song
my phone.
Do I pick out of my own songs? But what I thought was interesting, the rhetoric around Blake Lively, not only just the fact she wasn't there, but the fact that 1,000 people went. And she
also,
still
Cardi
wasn't
Cross
there.
Was there.
Yeah, I saw that.
What the hell?
They've obviously rekindled their friendship. But yeah, if Blake isn't one of 1,000, shit has gone down there.
Yeah.
I want a Disney doc
I
on
love
that.
That Andrew Scott was there as well.
Was he?
Yeah, he was there. I'd love to ask him now. Be like, listen, give me the tea.
I saw him
in Dunn's randomly before. If I saw him in Dunn's now, I'd just be like, here, listen, what happened to Taylor Swift?
Take the goss mic out. You should just have it in your bag at all times so you can be like, whoop. Yeah. Oh, Andrew's so nice. He's actually such a nice guy.
Yeah.
But it's the thing, like, there's no way we saw everybody that was photographed there.
No. There's 1,000 people. How would you like?
And also the fact that we now know Margaret Qualley and Jack
Antonoff.
Are broken up because she didn't come with him. One of the only people that was photographed at the weddings happened to be him. And remember I told you she was so weird in that interview about Taylor. I wonder where her and Jack on the rocks then, because that was only a few months ago.
Yeah,
because remember she was like, "Oh, whatever." Yeah. Maybe I thought that was about Taylor, but maybe it was about the Jack question.
Like, okay.
But yeah, that's sad though, isn't it? Sad little breakup.
But yeah, I cannot wait to see the photos when they will be dropped. Who?
What is your prediction in terms of the dress?
I would say. See, it's the first like wedding dress that Jonathan Anderson has ever designed for a celebrity, so it's like a big deal. I would say it would be quite princessy.
I think it's completely princessy. It's a fairy tale wedding.
Yeah, and like a
tied on the waist.
We haven't seen any of the decor, but like we've heard that there was a lot of like greenery. It was like a fairy tale forest.
Yeah.
There was like a fake castle, like. Definitely very love story, fairy tale vibes. So I definitely think like her dress was maybe like lace, floral embroidery, maybe, but all white.
And tight on the waist. She's very figure hugging, Jonathan, in a good way. And also, I suppose some of the details that had come out was like their vows were like long and really emotional.
Yeah.
How long are they together?
Like 2 years? Or maybe three.
Okay. That he got like really upset, like emotional, and that they were like 20 minutes long or something.
Mm,
I'm dying. Maybe there's going to be, I do wonder, is the reason nothing is up yet is because they're actually going to share a video, like almost a mini doc themselves, rather than like the first photo, but like a video of like, it should be like the best day of my life. Because a video would take longer to do to and edit on, get it on together. Maybe she wants shots of the 1,000 people that were there, you know?
All. Yeah, and I just want to know what way they transformed Madison Square Garden.
Do you know what I find so interesting too is it was treated like a royal wedding, as in people from News Talk were flown out to New York.
Yeah.
RTÉ were out there. Yeah. Like people were out there just loads to cover it.
Loads of people from like Good Morning America were there, and then they did a whole segment on it.
I know, that's how we got a lot of the details. They were like, yeah, Stevie Nicks performed. And the guy was like, thanks Taylor for having us. I was just like, what the fuck?
It's so wild.
I'd love to have seen Hugh Grant's face inside, because he's such a moper these days. Was he just like, hey?
Yeah, or like fell asleep at the table. Like
I'd say she's like invited him because Love Actually is one of her favorite movies or something. She's just so random. Like if you got an invite to go, you would just fucking go.
Yeah.
Oh, like never met her. You'd be like, I'll
be
there.
You'd be like, yeah. Hell
it was like the celebrity wedding of the century. It was like a royal wedding, to be fair.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, look. Whenever the photo is released, you can be sure as dandy that we'll have it up quickly, if not the first people to have it up. Emma on our team did say that like the 27th of July or something is like an anniversary of when he like went to her concert or something.
Yes, and so there could be
that. Imagine she never shared one.
It definitely won't be like a random day. Like we know Taylor Swift, she does things.
She'll release like a fucking album and her photos.
Yeah,
she's like, here's my wedding album and an actual album. Like something weird's gonna happen.
Or she'll post the photos like on Joe Alwyn's birthday or something.
Oh no, imagine. Did you see that stuff about how all her exes are just in fields in London?
What?
There's like these photos, backward photos of Harry Styles and Zoe Kravitz like lying in this field in the UK.
Oh.
With like kind of like straw all around. You know those kind of, what are those? It's kind of like straw. What's straw made of? You know those long kind of weedy fields? It's like yellow.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were like in it looking all romantic. And then a few days
later. Oh, like Gladiator movie style. Like that kind of long grass.
It looks like kind of. And then a few days later, Joe Alwyn was pictured in a really similar field with Sarah Pidgeon.
They're all just crying.
And no, they're all like chatting and hugging and lying each other. But someone put up a thing being like, why are all of Taylor's exes like the week before their wedding just lying in fields in the UK? It's really hot
in the UK at the moment.
But like fields specifically. Anyway, sure, some photographer must just be hanging out there. But did Zoe Kravitz go? We don't know yet.
Hyde Park or something. I don't know. It was rumored that she was going to go. But
also, I loved how he like sang a bit of the song that he wrote about her at his Wembley gig the day of the wedding.
I know. That was kind of funny. That was cute.
There was a real like moment there. So yeah, it's kind of like the Charlene thing, you know. When there's a lot of build up, it's kind of like.
And then it's like.
It's like, wait, what happens if she never posts a photo? See, I just have this weird feeling. Oh, she's going to release like an album called Wedding Album, and the cover of the album will be a photo of the two of them. Yeah, that's what I mean. Something.
Like everything Taylor does like has a purpose or a meaning. Like she won't just randomly.
And you'll have
post
to buy like a special vinyl edition to like, and her handkerchief will be in every copy.
She's always thinking about money.
She is though. Yeah. Anyway, look, we'll leave it there. Oh, we forgot to say who we think is going to win Love Island.
Last week I would have said Ellie and Finley. Now she's gone.
And he's probably gone.
And he's probably gone as well. Lorenzo's going to win. Whether he's with Julia or not, he is going to win.
You think 100%?
People just love him. Yeah.
Well, I will.
100%.
I will agree with you
on that. I think Calvin and Jasmine will be in the final, but they won't win. And then
Aiden and Priya possibly?
No.
Just out of people liking them, though, do you not think?
No. I don't think people really like them.
They've never been in the bottom of any of the votes. I think people do like Aiden, the way Casey is liked, because he's just funny
and silly. He's just like a bit gas.
And Priya, people do really feel bad for her, the way the girls fucked her around. She's been fucked around so much. I just wouldn't be surprised.
Yasmin and Tommy, true. Is his name Tommy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yasmin and Tommy, he's a bit boring, like, but...
Angelista,
she has
a big fan base.
There is usually five in the final. Yeah, and then they go four, three, two. Yeah.
I thought there was four. No, it's four. It's 4-3-2-1. Yeah. So Angelista.
Oh yeah, someone will be dumped on the Sunday. Yeah.
Okay, so Angelista, Yasmin, Jasmine, and Lorenzo, you think?
Yeah.
So you don't. So maybe Priya and Aiden would be
the last. Fifth. Yeah.
Because they'll go on a date in the Bible.
Because who else is there? Like. Sure, we don't, like, it says it all that they don't even come into our minds.
Is there someone else there? Well, look, when we're back, the show is going to be over. We're going to have done the countdown show.
We still have next week.
Is it not next Monday?
It's next Monday.
I don't know what day or time it is. Right, we will have more predictions next week. Okay, we'll talk to you then, guys.
Bye.
It's a cue to leave. Bye.